In life, there are three groups of people. Those who watch things happen. Those who ask what just happened. They have no clue what's going on. And those who make things happen. I want to ask you, which one are you?
Life is a journey, and as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
All right, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 17, the Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, and we will read verse 6. Our subject this morning is turning the world upside down. Say that with me. All right. You got Acts chapter 17 and verse 6. Okay. If you got it, everybody raise your Bibles and make this faith confession after me. It's the beginning of the year. It's a reminder that your phone is a phone. You may have an app, but it is not your Bible. Did you get it? Shall we? Say this after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught about the kingdom of God, which has power to change me. I will allow this word to change my mind, challenge my mental thought patterns, and cast down in my imaginations that are detrimental to my progress in life. Turning the world upside down. The book of Acts, chapter 17. Let's pick up the reading from verse 6, please. If you can read with me from the screen, I'll be reading from the Amplified Bible this morning. It said, but when they failed to find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brethren before the city authorities, crying, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. Please understand this statement of turning the world upside down was not a compliment. It was an accusation. And I will take my time and walk you through the word of God. Then you can come to a conclusion if it should be an accusation or a compliment. Are you here with me today? I said the statement turning the world upside down. These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. Is not a compliment. It is an accusation. But sometimes you will do the right thing, but people will say it is the wrong thing. And that is what is happening here. All right. So first of all, I want us to take our time and fully understand the Greek phrase or word that was translated by Dr. Luke into that phrase. And it is the word anastateo. If you want to follow me, you can go read all of that. It simply means to cause people to lose their allegiance to a political authority or a spiritual authority. When Paul the Apostle and the others were teaching the word of God, they were literally asking men, move away from Caesar. Notice the word world in this context for us is the world. But in the context of the scripture we read, it was a reference to the Roman world at the time. All the areas that Rome controlled. And they were saying that you guys have filled the entire Roman world with your doctrine. and you are introducing someone called Jesus who is a king, and that's treason, because there is no king but Caesar. But the apostles kept declaring that Jesus is king. It was Pontius Pilate who looked at Jesus and says, the people claim you are a king. Are you king then? And Jesus looked at Pontius Pilate and said, are you actually saying it, or somebody push you up to it? I am indeed a king. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Amen. So you will understand clearly that Paul and others were actually not causing trouble. If you read much newer versions and then you read Acts 17 verse 6, it will normally say that these are they who have caused trouble all over the world, because that is how they saw it. And whenever we start turning things around in our world, in the educational system, in the family structure, in the government, in business, in many areas, people would misconstrue your moves and say you are causing confusion. But do not be afraid, because the Spirit of God, when it comes upon you, he is going to use you for his purposes. Are you understanding me? Amen. And so I want to take time to fully help you put these words in our context today. What does it mean to us? And for you to fully understand it, we must gain an understanding of what these apostles, Paul and his fellow compatriots, what they have done for the people to have come to that conclusion and said, these people are causing confusion. At the end of it, you would notice that they are not causing confusion, but they are declaring truth. Today, in our world, if you mention the name of Jesus on TV, they will mute you. The same TV stations we fall in love with will mute you when you talk about Jesus. So as long as you are not muted, it means you are saying something they like. But we are not here to give men what they like. We are here to declare, thou sayest the Lord. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The truth is, today you are, tomorrow you will be no more. When you open your eyes on the other side, everything that took place in this world, that day one, does not matter. It is the decisions you made for the King of glory that matters. Amen. So now let's begin to understand. I'm going to take you through the book of Acts. We're going to read a few verses for you to understand what Paul and Silas and the others were doing, for which people were misconstruing it and saying these guys are causing confusion. Amen. First of all, go with me to Acts chapter 13. You will notice that in Acts chapter 13 from verse 1, the Bible says that they were fasting and praying, and the Spirit of God says, separate for me Paul and what? Barnabas, for the work that I have called them unto. In verse 6, let's pick up the reading. They began to work. Acts chapter 13. I'll read from verse 6 to verse 12. When they had passed through the entire island of Cyprus, as far as Paphos, they came upon a certain Jewish wizard or sorcerer, a false prophet named Bar-Jesus. He was closely associated with the proconsul. Everybody say proconsul. If you read a traditional King James, it will say the deputy. But actually, the word proconsul refers to the governor. It is interesting to see that a man who was a sorcerer was in the office of the governor. Is it any different from our day? They put on suits and ties, but only God knows the spirit by which they operate. They don't want you to say it, but we will say it right here in this building and take it out there. Let's continue reading. He was closely associated with the proconsul. So this guy who is a sorcerer and was operating by a demonic spirit was associated with the governor. Sergius Paulus, that is his name, who was an intelligent and sensible man of sound understanding. Your intelligence can never fish out a demonic spirit. It takes the Spirit of God on the inside of you to spot another spirit. Human knowledge cannot spot a spirit. And I pray that we learn to say, Holy Spirit, come into our lives. Come live in me. Come and be in control. Because when he is in it, you can see what the enemy is at work doing. Amen. I'm reading verse 7 again, Acts chapter 13. He was closely associated with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, who was an intelligent and sensible man of sound understanding. He summoned to him Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. This governor wanted to hear God's word, so he wanted Paul and Barnabas, who have been dispatched by the Holy Spirit, to bring him the word of God. Now let's look at what this sorcerer is going to do. Verse 8, but Elymas, the wise man, for that is the translation of his name, opposed them, seeking to keep the proconsul from accepting the faith. But Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit, looked steadily at Elymas. And he said, you master in every form of deception and recklessness, unscrupulousness and wickedness, you son of the devil, you enemy of everything that is upright and good. Now, notice this guy stood by the governor, and the Bible calls him a very wise man. He used wisdom to make some things happen. Be careful which wisdom things you are following, because sometimes at the bedrock of it, on the surface, it looks nice, but beneath it, the enemy is at work. Are you understanding me? Not every movie should be watched. Not every song needs to be sung. Be careful what sound you are bowing to, because you are bowing to a God. Study the scriptures and you will understand that anytime there is going to be an allegiance to a kingdom, it begins with a sound. It begins with a song. The Bible says in the book of Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego told the king, when we hear the music, we ain't bowing, because you want us to bow to your God. And the book of Nehemiah says, when you hear the music, he said, no. We will hear the music, but we will not do it. No wonder God says, come before me with what? Don't talk to me. Come before me with. So be careful the song you are dancing to, because you are bowing to things you are not aware of. Pastor, what is wrong with a song? What is wrong is not the person who sang it and when they sang it and what it is about the kingdom you are bowing to. And I pray that your eyes will be open. I said, I pray that your eyes will be what? Open. So you son of the devil, you enemy of everything. I'm reading verse 10. That is upright and good. Will you never stop perverting and making crooked the straight paths of the Lord, plotting against his saving purposes? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind, unable to see the sun for a time. Instantly, there fell upon him a mist and a darkness, and he groped about seeking persons who would lead him by the hand. Then the governor, the proconsul, believed, became a Christian when he saw what had occurred, for he was astonished and deeply touched by the teaching concerning the Lord and from him. Amen. Does it sound like Paul and his friends are causing commotion? Does it look like it to you? But this is what they are describing over there. These guys who are turning the world upside down because they are confronting spirits. Now, let me put it into modern terms. We have a governor, somebody who leads an entire state, if we're in the United States, and those who are advising him are people who have a relationship in the underworld with demonic spirits. And whenever we are turning the world upside down, it means we are going to be able to spot which advisor needs to be removed. And we will do so by declaring a word, not through a vote, but through declaration of a word. Are you understanding me today? It looks like there's only one person who is understanding what I'm saying. Sometimes you can vote and your vote won't go nowhere because the same powers control the vote. It is time that we pray some people don't survive until they change, until they... Come on, talk to me. Until they... Paul is confronting the system. And they said he's causing trouble. Go with me again. The same Acts chapter 13. I want you to look at verse 44 and 45. Then we'll read verse 49 and 50. Are you in Acts chapter 13? Okay, look there with me. The next Sabbath, almost the entire city gathered together to hear the word of the Lord. Wow. Verse 45. But when the Jews saw the crowds filled with envy and jealousy, they contradicted what Paul said and talk abusive. Sometimes we are worried who is telling you, that word is too strong. No, it's time to declare what God is declaring. I said it's time to declare what God is declaring. Let's pick it up from verse 50 because something now happens in the same thing. And so the word of the Lord concerning eternal salvation to Christ scattered and spread through the whole region. But the Jews stirred up the devout women of high rank. I wanted to underline that. So these were not ordinary women. They were like senators. They were like people who were in high what? Rank. And the outstanding men of the town. Other version says leaders. Men who were leaders in the city. So whenever you are going to turn the world upside down, you are going to confront the system. I said, you're going to what? The system says, give condoms to our children. But then you say abstinence is God's way. So you ain't having no condom. And whenever you declare that truth, there will be many who would want to shut you down. But be not afraid. It's time to turn the world upside down. The high-ranking women, the leaders of the city, every single one of them, the establishment, talk to me, the systems of the world, it has been put in place. Be careful what you are bowing to. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood there and told Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar, you have set up a system of worship. This is not about Jehovah. Be careful, because sometimes some systems portray a worship that looks like the worship of God, but it has nothing to do with God. May God open your eyes. This is why the moments of fasting and prayer is important, so God can open your eyes to see that you can stand and declare, this is not of Jehovah, and I stand against it. Can you see how many believers today are not even serious with their Christian life? How many believers today will make a decision by staying home just to watch a TV? Truth is, if you are on fire for God, you will be in the midst of other believers. Nobody has to tell you that. Are you understanding the systems of this world? It has a way of sniffing life, spiritual life out of you. And I pray that we stand up for the truth of God's word. So does it look like Paul is making trouble? Does it look like it? This is good trouble. He's stirring up trouble, but he's declaring the truth to the people. Amen. Acts chapter 14. I wanted you to understand why they said these guys were causing trouble. Because the phrase turning the world upside down, in that context, literally means they are causing trouble. But when we use it, it means we are going to cause good trouble. We will cause good trouble in the educational sector. How many of you know that they are teaching our children stuff that according to the laws of the state of Maryland, those textbooks are actually at odds with the laws. And many believers don't understand because we think it's all about, let's come to church, let's go home. Me, myself. Are you in Acts chapter 14? Let's pick up the reading from verse 1. Now at Iconium, also Paul and Barnabas went into a Jewish synagogue together and spoke with such power that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. They became Christians. But the unbelieving Jews who rejected their message aroused the Gentiles and embittered their minds against the brethren. So Paul and Barnabas stayed on there for a long time, speaking freely and fearlessly and boldly in the Lord. When we turn the world upside down, we speak the word of God boldly. And come on, talk to me. We speak the word of God boldly and what? Fearlessly. It's time to tell our children when it's lunchtime, after they have gotten something to eat, they should get in the center in the middle of the school, holding their hands and calling on the name of Jehovah. It's time to create some confusion in the schools, holy confusion. I keep telling you, when you close your eyes on this side and open it on the other, you will notice that nothing that man wants you to do matters. It is what God wants. It's time that your heart will follow that. And if you sit under my feet, I will make you uncomfortable until you begin to search God and look for him. Amen. What verse did we get to? 3? Okay, let's read verse 4. But the residents of the town were divided, some siding with the Jews and with the apostles. Whenever you speak truth, people will be divided. When there was an attempt both on the part of the Gentiles and the Jews together with their rulers. Now, it is amazing how certain groups of people don't like each other. But when it comes to the things of God and attacking it, those groups will come together. The Jews didn't like the Gentiles. The Gentiles didn't like the Jews. But in this contest, they came together just so they can stop the word of God. When there was an attempt on both parts, I'm reading verse 5 again, when it was an attempt on both parts of the Gentiles and the Jews together with their rulers to insult and abuse and molest Paul and Barnabas and to stone them. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Whenever you choose to walk in righteousness, that walk will be a lonely walk. Because broad is the way that leads to destruction and narrow, small, is the way that leads to life. Many will walk away from you. But as for me and this house, we will serve the Lord. Are you understanding me? And we don't want to keep that word in here. We want to take it out there and begin to challenge the proconsuls, the governors of our day, and let them understand that there are some within the system, they are there because they have been strategically positioned by the devil to make sure that all these leaders don't have a right mind of their own. Amen. Be careful of what campaign you are supporting. Verse 6. They are aware of the situation, made their escape to Lystra, that is Paul and Silas, right? They became aware that the people wanted to kill them. And there be cities of Lycaonia and the neighboring districts, and there they continue to preach the gospel. If you get persecuted and people are giving you trouble, how many of you will keep preaching? That is what it means by turning the world what? Upside down. You have this tenacity, this inside fortitude, something that makes you keep declaring the word. It doesn't matter. And ladies and gentlemen, here, this is a prophetic word I'm releasing. There is coming a season in this country and all across the nations of the world that those who stand to speak truth will be attacked and never ever shoot the child of God. If you want to walk with God, it is the day the giant of Gath will face you. And you have to make a decision, I stand for Jehovah. Are you understanding me? If you are a Christian, you think America is far away from it? Oh, no. When you have a gun to your head that if you declare Jesus is Lord, you are gone. How many of you will be ready? It's time to prepare yourself. Pastor, why are you heralding evil? I'm only reminding you that in the last days, men will become allergic to God and addicted to self. That's what the Bible says. Could it be that some who are in the pulpit are already addicted to self and allergic to God? So they preach things about themselves. May God help us. I said, may God, what? Question. Does it look like what Paul and others just did? They are causing commotion? Does it look like it? Are they causing commotion? What kind of commotion? It's good one. Because they brought the word of God to the place and the people believed. Amen. You see, people are okay as long as the preaching is nice, doesn't hit anything, doesn't challenge anybody, and that was a nice preaching. Anytime I'm done preaching and somebody says, that was a nice preaching, I hurt. I hurt inside. I want to hear that word challenge me to live better. Acts chapter 14. Let's pick up from verse 8. I'm just trying to show you what the people saw. And they are now describing these guys like that. Now at Lystra, a man sat who found it impossible to use his feet, for he was a cripple from birth and had never walked. He was listening to Paul as he talked, and Paul, gazing intently at him and observing that he had faith to be healed, shouted at him, saying, "Stand erect on your feet." And he leaped up and walked. And the crowds, when they saw what Paul had done, lifted up their voices, shouting in Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." What a misconception. They called Paul Zeus, they called Barnabas Zeus, and they called Paul because he was led in the discourse Hermes. That is the god of speech. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance of the town, brought bulls and garlands to the city gates and wanted to join the people in offering sacrifice. Question, does it look like they are causing confusion? They are indeed turning the world upside down, not the way people want it. Let me pursue with two more verses and I'll let you go. Acts chapter 16. Because in Acts 16, Lydia, who was a dealer in purple, had come to know the Lord. And Paul and others, the scripture says they were on their way to a prayer meeting. This is a very popular story. Let's start from verse 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse 16. And as we were on our way to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who was possessed by a spirit of divination. Everybody say spirit of divination. Now, this is one of the translations in the New Testament that I believe is the word used in this context is a spirit of Python. Because the spirit of Python in those days was symbolic of a spirit that speaks the future. Therefore, divination still fits the context. Are you with me? But in actual fact, it is called the spirit of Python. Is that not the spirit that operates in our day? Some of you say, okay, let me connect it for you. Python only destroys its victims by wrapping itself around them and stretching and taking air out of them until they asphyxiate. They are wrapping your children with music, wrapping them with words from TV, sniffing life out of them, and you are looking at it and calling it modern. If modern destroys my children, forget modern. Only one person said amen. I said, if modern destroys the next generation, then forget modern. We will stay back in the home. Then the scripture says, do not remove the ancient landmark. In other words, until you remove a boundary, you must pause. It was Margaret McGrich who said that. Anytime you're about to move a boundary, pause and ask, why was it put there in the first place? Not because we want to make everything modern, we keep moving boundaries. Some of them were put there because they guarded something. Today, somebody who has a wee wee that is on the outside does not even know who they are. And when you talk about it, you'll be hated for it. I choose to talk about it because it's against God's order. I love them people, but the truth is that it's against God's will. Are you understanding what we're saying here? The Bible says they were going to the hour of prayer and they met this girl who has the spirit of Python, a divination spirit. Please follow. And she brought her owners much gain. Some verses says he brought them profit. I think the NIV says she made them money. When the system, some way, somehow, is set up to make it look economically viable, we don't tend to pay attention what is at play behind it.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.